by Deuter Meister Yud Aleph Kislev Toshin Pei Beis Rabotzi Posen.
This man called Yankel, who he loved animals. He had his dog Timothy and his cat Bobby, and they were his whole life. He was very fond of them. He loved them very much. And because he was so committed to them, they were his whole life, he could never be too selfish. He always had to be considerate of his animals, his pet dog, his pet cat, Timothy and Bobby, who he loved so much. And his brother Belbel said to him, "Rabbi Yankel, you're so stressed out, you never go on holiday. You have to go away." So what will I do with Timothy and Bobby? So Belbel said, "You know what, I'm such a nice brother, I'm happy to offer to look after your dog and cat for you." He was so excited, Yankel, off he went, jumped on the plane. He went away. And he tried to forget about his pet animals. After a few days, couldn't stop thinking about them. He called his brother Velvel, said, "How's my dog Timothy?" He said, "Timothy, he's dead." "What?" He couldn't believe it. "Timothy's dead, my dear dog." Couldn't believe it. He was so shocked. And he said to his brother Velvel, "Besides for the shock, it's not how you relate bad news. You should have told me when I said, 'How's Timothy?' You should have said, 'He's not doing so well.' And the lady could have said, 'He's doing worse.' And that would have cushioned the impact of the shock." And Velvel said, "You're right, I'm sorry. Next time, if such a thing happened, I would have to say, 'He's not doing so well.' I'll break it to you slowly." So he said to him, "How's Bobby doing?" He said, "Bobby the cat, he's not doing so well." Sometimes a person needs a hint, sometimes he needs something clear. There are many things that need a chizuk constantly. We spoke in the evening about chesed, we spoke last time here about tefillah. And we know the second mission of us are shloshe dvorim, ha'olim ha'omed, ala teyav, ala voida, ala gemilas chesedim. Therefore, the third topic in the trilogy is obviously going to be Torah. I just saw this book at home of the collection of, you probably know, the most choshva mishpacha, the most miuchastik of mishpacha in Klal Yisrael today is the family Kichels. Don't know if you've seen them, they come at the back of the mishpacha, or I mean one of the magazines. So I had the book at home with a collection of all of them, and I saw one of them was very interesting, it was very mamish negeir to us. It had their Baruch was having a bar mitzvah. And it started off the artist there was drawing the pictures, and he wrote how the father was so excited for the bar mitzvah because he's going to be able to give his drosha, and the mother was so excited for the bar mitzvah, she said, "I can't wait for the bar mitzvah, everyone can see my new shaitel." And the sister was so excited for the bar mitzvah, everyone can see my new dress. And the brother was so excited for the bar mitzvah, for all the good food. And at the end, it had, by the bar mitzvah, the father saying, "The reason why we're all here, of course, is to hear the bar mitzvah by his drosha." Now, the reason why we're all here, if you think about it, the tachlis, why we're all here, we know the Messiah Shalom says, "Lav is Hashem, to be oyim ben Yisoyen." There's many Amori Chazal which point out that the tachlis of Bria, of course, is the Torah. The whole idea of the Bria, in fact, the Rebbein Shem was tackled by Raisa Bora Omar, everything came from the Torah. And we know Talmud Torah is the most important mitzvah a person could do. We say every morning, end of Eilu Dvarim, it's a Mishnah Impeah, we say, Eilu Dvarim Shein Lem Shia. And we have the whole list, and we end off the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. The Maila of Torah is Keneged Kulam, it encompasses every other mitzvah within it. The Rosh brings, why Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam? He says, V'gizabo Yom V'layla, there's a 24-hour day mitzvah of Talmud Torah. V'gizabo Yom V'layla. Therefore, it's a Dovash Ein Lem Shia. Why is Ein Lem Shia? Because every law of mitzvahs have a certain amount you have to do. They're confined to a certain time, certain amount. Whereas Torah is one of the Dvarim Shia. There's no end. A person can never say, "Okay, I'm done. I'm finished. My mitzvah of Torah, tick, it's done. See you tomorrow." Why? The Hebrew of the Yerushalmi, the famous Gemara Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi says, Shol is Rabbi Shua. They asked Rabbi Shua, Maosh Yilmud Adam Lebenoi Chochmus Yivonis. Can you teach your son other concepts, other ideas? Yivonis is another, what's the right word for it? Another Chochmah, okay? It's another Chochmah. Can you teach Chochmus Yivonis? And he said to him, if you find a time there's no Yom and no Laila, then yeah, because Vekiz Yom and Laila. Torah is a 24-hour day mitzvah. If you find a time which is not Yom and Laila, then maybe you can teach something else. But until then, there's a Chiyuv Talmud Torah, Yom and Laila. There's a famous question of Rabbi Chanan, how does that work? A person needs to eat, sleep, daven, do other mitzvahs. He has the business to make a parnasa, business to relax. What do you mean? Yom HaVelayla can never stop. Says Rabbi Chanan, Torah is different to every other mitzvah. Every other mitzvah is Yesh HaLasa De'acherim, then you have to do it. You got a mitzvah of chesed, and no one else can do it. Then you have a lot of the mitzvahs to do this mitzvah. Whereas Torah is only when a person is not doing anything else, he's not eating, not sleeping, not doing any of the mitzvah, then the mitzvah Torah kicks in. Now, obviously, a person can't say I'm always busy. We know the Mishnah and others. Adam, you should never be put aside too much. As a person, we're always busy. We always have time for other things. So, for sure, Torah shouldn't be neglected in that way. But there is a mitzvah. Whenever a person's got time and he's not tafka busy with something else, then he has a mitzvah of a gizvayim of a laila. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch says it's interesting. People aren't aware of this. I think it's very unknown actually. It says, V'kisabo yoyimam v'lal, you have to learn night and day. Shulchan Aruch says there's a chiyuv talmud Torah, a night and a day. Meaning if a person learns all day, comes the sun in England, 11 o'clock at night, he davens ma'ariv, goes to bed, he hasn't been mekayem the mitzvah of yoyim v'lal. He learned by yoyim, not by laila. Says the Shulchan Aruch, you must always be sure, be careful that you learn by yoyim and by laila. Which is very negay. You have a guy, a boch in yeshiva, he learns the whole day from 9 in the morning to 11 at night, 11's nacht and that's it. He wasn't mekayem, yoyim and laila. It's got to be learning by yoyim and learning by laila dafka. Maybe that's why we have end the day and start the day, so we can have yoyim and laila. Oh, b'diyavad yis v'shema is not so posh yis v'shema, but as backup, you'll always have Shema. But the real mitzvah of a gizbe and v'layla, that a business be careful day and night dafka. So that's the mitzvah of Talmud Torah as we know it. A person who is always mashubut and always machuiv to try and chap around as much Torah as he can. Now sometimes a person feels Torah for me. I'm not the most innocent of people. A person feels doesn't really relate to me. So it's the famous Gemara in Brachos Chof Ches. The story when Reb Gamliel was Nasi, and what happened was, he had an issue with Reb Yeshua, and they were upset with Reb Gamliel. They took him down from being Nasi. When they took him down from being Nasi, they put Reb Elezer ben Azariah in his place. And Reb Elezer ben Azariah made a lot of different takonos. One of the takonos Reb Gamliel had, which Reb Elezer ben Azariah was mevatel, was Reb Gamliel only let a person come in if Toichi Kabari. A person was a solid person, he had Yerushamayim, he was what we would call a mensch, he was a Talmud Chacham, he was a decent person. Such a person Reb Gamliel let in to learn. Reb Elezer ben Azariah mevatel it, everyone's allowed in, doesn't matter who you are, what color or flavor you may belong to, every person is welcome to learn Torah. And the Gemara says, hundreds of benches were added that day. The Chalek is 400, 700 benches, wasn't chairs, it was benches, people were coming in. That means hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people were coming in, extra to learn that day. And Reb Gamliel was very upset. He said, so much Torah is happening now, and I'll mevatel it. And in a dream they showed him that he dreamt of the image of a white jug with ashes inside to reflect these people, ashes, like dirty ashes, and it looks like it's to reflect the idea that a person may look good, but inside they're not as they look on the outside. And the Gemara says, "Vlohi, ahula suvi daite hu de'ochzile." He saw it to calm him down because he was so upset, because he felt bad. So the dream told him, don't worry, these people, they may look good on the outside, they're coming to learn. The inside, they're not that pure. But the words of Elohi, that wasn't really true. It showed him just to calm him down. But really a person, doesn't matter where he's coming from, who he is, what he's doing, doesn't matter, any person, everyone's welcome in to learn Torah, because Torah is a mitzvah, applies to every yid, irrelevant whether Toichi Kabar or not. Person inside may not look as good as the outside, completely irrelevant. The mitzvah Talmud Torah applies the same to every person, and the Gemara stay telling you, ultimately, Reb Gamliel was wrong for not allowing them in. And Reb Elezer ben Azariah was right to change it, because Torah relates to everyone, is applicable to everyone, and every person can learn it as much as possible, everyone's welcome to learn Torah. Chofetz Chaim says, in Sefer Chofetz Chaim, he says it's an interesting concept because people a lot of times are busy with many different shibutim they have. And he says one shibut which overtakes so many other things is business busy, he has to make money, he has to make parnasa. And therefore at the expense of Torah, he sometimes has to work extra. Sedech of Chaim is a marshal of a person. Someone comes to you and offers you his business. Say, I've got a business, it's very successful. I'd like to give you the entire business, make you CEO, you take over the business. He said, wow, I'm so excited, Baruch Hashem, thank you so much. And you run the business. And the next morning he calls you. I'm sorry, I'm busy with the business, I can't talk to you. And he calls you that night, sorry, I'm busy with the business. You think it's the lack of a Karas HaTov, he's the one that gave you the business. Says the Chofetz Chaim, he comes to Torah, business sets aside his time to learn. And sometimes business problems crop up. You have to remember the one that gave you the business, don't push him away to enhance your business. It all came from him in the first place. It would seem hypocritical to tell him, I'm sorry, I'm busy with the business, at the expense of the conversation he'd want to have with me. So the Chofetz Chaim says, Torah, business busy with Torah. Sometimes he's busy with the business problems arise. But you should remember, ultimately everything came from Hashem. You should put it aside and focus on Torah. That's business. Sometimes people have other issues. People have, nowadays we have all sorts of issues that bog us down. Rabbi Elliot Lopin explains, the Gemara says, Shabbos Peches, Nas of Nishma, the Yidden said, Nas of Nishma, and the Roshim said, Mi Gila Rozazay Lebonai, why? Because it's a Losh of Malachim. The Malachim say Nas of Nishma. Why is it a Losh of Malachim? Says Rabbi Lopin, Nas of Nishma means we accept. It's a blanket check. It's a signature without checking the terms and conditions. We agree to the above. Why is the Losh of Malachim? Because Malachim have no shibutim. They don't have problems, they don't have issues, they don't have money and food and other things that constantly drag them down. They don't have mental issues, they don't have any issues b'chlal, they're just Malachim, they're pure people. Therefore, pure beings rather. Therefore they can always agree. You tell a Malach, do this? Sure, why not? The Yidden said Nas of Nishma to the Rebbeinu by saying, when it comes to Torah, we're willing to commit ourselves, we're not going to worry about this, about that, other things crop up. We're above all that, because Torah we know is trumps everything else, therefore when it comes to other things we push all aside, we focus purely on Torah. That's the Loshna Malachim, nothing else can pull them away, nothing else can disturb them, rather they can focus completely on Torah. And they said in the Nasa Nishma, they were saying, we want to be the same, we're going to fully give it our full commitment, even though it may come to it and we're feeling down, we're feeling depressed, we've got problems, we've got issues, we're hungry, we're tired, but Malachim, and the Nasa Nishma is a full Kabbalah despite all odds. The Gemara says in Shabbos Taf Lamed, that David HaMelech spoke to the Rebbeinu Shalom, and he asked the Rebbeinu Shalom, tell me when I'm going to die. When's going to be my Yom HaMisa? And the Rebbeinu Shalom said that no one knows the day they're going to go. I can't tell you. So David HaMelech said, tell me which day of the week it will be. That the Rebbeinu Shalom told him is Shabbos Kiddush. So David was afraid that if I die on Shabbos, no one will to look after me, no one will to do the Kavura. Why do Shabbos? Let's do Sunday instead. So the Rosh Hashem told him, you can't do Sunday because Shlomo Melech is meant to be king already. And we know one Malchus can't override another Malchus. Therefore it has to terminate at the minute the Shlomo Melech's Malchus begins. So David said, fine, let's do Friday. I'll go Friday and that way I'll be able to get a proper Kavura. And Shabbos will be able to have a pause. Sunday will be Shlomo Melech's Malchus. And the Rosh Hashem told him the famous Pasuk, Toiv Yoyim B'chatzerecha Me'elef. I prefer one day of your Torah than 1,000 korbanos. The Shlomo Melech is going to build the Beis HaMikdash and bring thousands, we know on the first day, thousands of korbanos. The Rebbe says that's all beautiful. Korbanos, we know, is one of the highest things a person could do, is connect its filler. It's when a person connects. The Gemara says a person's like Yishechs himself. It's completely giving over yourself to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Say the Rebbeinu Shalom, all that's beautiful. But Toiv Yoyim B'chatzerecha Me'elef. 1 minute, 1 day of Torah far surpasses any amount of korbanos, any amount of kedusha that can come from a korban. We know the midst of Talmud Torah is connected kulam, and therefore it overrides anything. Sometimes a person feels they're doing mitzvahs, which is all very choshev. Many mitzvahs are there. There are many mitzvahs to do. A person is busy with chesed and with tzedakah and with davening. It's all mitzvahs that a person is mechuyev to do. You must remember the Toiv Yoyim B'chatzerecha Me'elef. The Torah overrides every other mitzvah. Overrides everything. You see a story, there was this big Askan who was busy helping out Klal Yisrael, one of these people, big Baal Chesed, and he came to the Chazanish, and Chazanish was discussing with him something he had to be busy with. And Chazanish told him, it's amazing how much Chesed you're involved in. But let me tell you, in the next room is my nephew, a little boy called Chaim Kanievsky, he's in the next room and he's learning Torah. Let me tell you, every word of his Torah is Keneged Kulam. It's worth 613 mitzvahs. So you are hoisting now in one mitzvah, it's very choshev. You should know that Talmud Torah is connected kulam. And every minute he's learning Torah, he's become so much more than you can ever do with every chesed in the world. More of our person shouldn't be doing chesed, not undermining other mitzvahs, but to appreciate that Talmud Torah is connected kulam. And Toivyoim Bechatirecha Me Aleph, the power of Torah far overrides and surpasses any other mitzvah. The Shulchan Aruch says, Mika Adin, a person who's busy learning Torah all day, doesn't even need to daven. We don't do that nowadays because we haven't got the level of Torah they had back then. But the Tanoim Amroim, and really it's Halacha Shulchan Aruch, which we don't do, but the idea is there that Torah overrides anything else to the point the Chiyuv Tefillah a person has every day is overridden by the Chiyuv Talmud Torah. That's the power and the Kedusha that's all locked in and interwoven into every word of Torah that a person's busy with. The Gemara in Shabbos, Tezvav, or Medalef, brings the sukkah of Atum and Taharan, the Gemara that discusses about Mayim Sheuvim, how much Mayim Sheuvim you need to pass the mikvah. And it says that no one knew. There was a time when no one knew how much. Until it says that there came along two people, they were weavers, the people used to weave, and they lived in the Shar Ashba, literally the gate of the rubbish, the dung gate actually, I think is the proper translation, Shar Ashba. And they came along and they told everyone the hidden Shema Avtalion, the halacha, and they related the halacha by how much Mayim Sheuvim you need to pass the mikvah. And Rashi says, who cares all the detail? They were weavers and where they lived. Why does the Gemara tell us this? It's quite strange. Who cares? They told them the halacha. No one knew it. Along came two people and gave them the answer. And Rashi says, to teach you a lesson. It's amazing because it's not your regular Rashi. Rashi generally doesn't go off the point like this. There's other Mefarshim who explain the secrets behind more Agadita Gemara, but Rashi points out the reason why the Gemara stresses who they were and where they lived, because the weavers were the lowest level of society. It was a very, very basic job. You didn't need much seichel. It was the basic minimum wage job, or even less than that was the weavers. Not only that, because of their location, you may want to know where they live, who they're affiliated and associated with. Right? The Gemara tells you, they come from Shah Ashba, they lived mumsh in the area where the cheapest council estate, of the people who couldn't afford anything better, that's where they were. Why is it telling us that? Who they were and where they lived? Says Rashi, that if not for them, this halacha would have been forgotten forever. There was no way anyone would have known besides for those two. And because these two people, who came from the lowest rung in society, Torah was completely metamorphosized and changed over because this halacha was now revealed. And Rashi says, therefore, a person should always remember, it doesn't matter who you are, which walk of life you may come from, which paranoia you're busy with, where you live, who you're associated with, which circle in society is yours. Rather, every person has a chelik in Torah, and there could be a time where your Torah is so imperative, is so important, that without your Torah, things would come to a standstill in this area. And my grandfather, Moshe Eliezer Posen, wrote the white Tavnis Kalim, picture Mishnayos, the famous Mishnayos, you see the tall, white, thin paperback, then hardback now. The pictures on Tavnis, he called them Tavnis Kalim, Tavnis Olos, the pictures on Mishnayos, Kalim and Olos. I was thinking, Mamash Baz Rashi, he was a balabos, he lived in London, he worked his whole life, he wasn't someone who, you know, sat in coil for years and years. Every day he worked a regular job, 9 to 5, he had a factory, he worked it. Yet he committed himself to try and fully understand the Mishnayos of Kalim and Olos, which is probably the two hardest masechtas, and he sat learning them every single day for years and years. He spent 16 years compiling his sefer on Mishnayos. Again, he came from work every day. He went to eat, he went to a shiur, and after that he sat down to learn. And he could have said to him, me, Balabos, I should sit and write a pirush like this. Lemaisa, he became the underlying sefer on Mishnayos, Kalim and Olos. No one can learn the Mishnayos without it, to the point when we went to Reb Chaim Kanievsky together, and he came to Reb Chaim and said, I'm the Chabas sefer of Tanis, Kalim and Olos. Reb Chaim stood up, said, I've been a Talmud. You told me the Masechtas. Without your sefer, I would never have understood. I would never have got this. He stood up for him. He was Mechabed him. And this man which personifies this Rashi, a person could say, me, I should start writing Sforim. I don't have much time to learn. Yet he found this little gap, and he managed to write his Sforim on it, which became the very basis. I actually saw the new set of Article Mishnayos in the Hakdama, they write a whole page, how they used his Sforim to be able to write it. There's so much now which has come in Sechtes Kalim and Olos, which began with a simple yid who said, you know what, let's give this a bash. It comes from a hard day in the office. He says, let's try and learn this Masechta. Let's try and write a sefer on it, understand it. And when his life work came to fruition in a way that he probably never imagined he'd be able to reach such a level. His mom is Rashi. Rashi is telling you, these people were poshti people. They said, me, I've been a poshti yid. Fakir, it was those people who changed Torah because they said, I'm going to do something different for Torah, something small in my little way. It was one halacha they taught. Yet Rashi is telling us, this Gemara would have had that gap. We would never have known the halacha. A person could achieve such heights by realizing that it's up to me. Lo v'ashamayim, lo v'irayam, every person could accomplish in his little way. I had a friend who told me he struggles with learning, it's not so easy. And then he had the idea, he's going to learn Chumash Rashi. Something easy for him. He struggled with a lot with learning things in depth. Chumash Rashi is going to be fairly simple, fairly easy. He bought himself a set of art scroll Chumashim. And I met him a couple of years later and he told me, there's not a Rashi in the Torah he doesn't know by heart. Any Rashi, he said, you drop me a Pasuk, I'll tell you every Rashi on the Pasuk. It's amazing. This person, again, was someone who worked all day. He had a small amount of time in the morning before he went to work. He dedicated to this. It took him many years. I met him probably after 7 or 8 years. But he had mastered the entire Chumash Rashi. It's an amazing feat a person can accomplish. Sometimes a person thinks, me, what am I going to do? What am I going to accomplish? Yet he managed to reach so much by dedicating a small amount of time to learning Torah on a higher level, to learning Torah in a proper way. To the point where Rabbi Rucham writes in Das Torah, he writes, when a person sits and learns anything, his example was Chumash Rabbi Kivayga. He learned Chumash Rabbi Kivayga. He says, you have to realize that you are much greater than Rabbi Kivayga now. Why? So Rabbi Kivayga wrote it. Why did he write it? Because that was his chokhmah, that was his Torah. You didn't have that chiddush. Yeah, you are pushing yourself to understand something Rabbi Kivayga said. He said, you are pushing yourself to a higher level and you're achieving more with your Torah because the struggle is so much greater than Mishnah, last Mishnah, Perikei and Ovos from Sarah Agra. Therefore, you're achieving so much more in Gadlus HaTorah than Rabbi Kivayga achieved when he wrote it, which is an unbelievable idea to think about. Rabbi Rucham writes, that's how a person has to realize when they learn anything in Torah, that you are reaching a higher level than the person who wrote it, because you're pushing yourself to a level which is really not yours. You're pushing yourself to a higher level, something above you can reach. I always had it shver. Harasina, we know, not Harasina, Harabayas, the person goes to Harabayas, the person goes to where the Mikdash is. We know it's Kedusha. The Yidden is not allowed to go up there because now there's Wul Tomei. There's Kedusha on the Mokum Mikdash, there always was and there always will be. Yet Har Sinai, which where the Torah was given, you would think the Torah was given Har Sinai, is supposed to be the highest Kedusha. Why is it that Har Sinai, no problem, people can go and stroll over Har Sinai, no problem at all. But Har Abayis, not allowed there. The Kedusha of the Beis Midrash is more than the Kedusha of the Torah. And I found the Mefarshim say, or the Rishonim point this out, that the Kedusha of the Torah left Har Sinai and it went to the whole world. It's everywhere. There's no specific place where you say, this is the place to learn Torah. By tefillah, every person could daven anywhere, but you meant to be mechavent Yerushalayim, and if you stand by the Kosel, it's a higher level, if you stand by the Beis HaMikdash, even a higher level, Kodesh HaKadosh, in the higher level, Torah is concentrated, the more it goes in that direction. Whereas Torah is everywhere, it's not given to a specific place or location, so a person shouldn't feel, Torah is here, Torah is there, Torah is everywhere, it's not like tefillah, where it's dafk in a certain place, rather Torah, everyone should come in and take whatever they want, as much as they want, because Torah is free and given to everyone. Roshem Lawrence writes in his book, there was one sitting in the library, in the Knesset, and Ben Gurion came over to him, and Ben Gurion said to him, what's the whole fuss with Yeshiva Bachram going to the army? Everyone's got to pull their weight, everyone's got to do something for society, every person's got to shoulder the burden. Why is it that the Torah, people learning Torah feel they're exempt? And more than that, he said to him, that even in the Torah, back then these people were, they had learnt, he said, even in the Torah there's no makor for this, there's no such thing. Why is it they feel every person, doesn't matter if you are Talmud Chacham or not, you're mechoyev in chesed, you're mechoyev in Torah, you're mechoyev in tefillah, you're in every mitzvah. Part of helping out is like mitzvah, like any other mitzvah. Why is it you feel that the B'nai Torah don't need to leave? And Shlomo said to him, it's a mefurash Rambam. The Gurion couldn't think, he knew Rambam. Well, isn't the Rambam, no Rambam. So the end of Shmuel, the famous Rambam, Lo Yishev Levi Bulvad, the Rambam says, no Yishev Levi are exempt from working the land, and everyone has to donate and give to them. And I call Ish V'ish, we call Ba'olam, She'enot Baruchel Edas Hashem, any person who's committed to Torah falls into the same level as Yishev Levi. He said to him, you want to know what the exemption is? It's for Shmuel Rambam. It's a pasuk, in fact. The Torah tells us everything's given to Yishev Levi. The Rambam says, no Yishev Levi. Any Yid who's committed to Torah and spends his time up in Kedusha V'Tahara reaches the same level as Sheva Levi, and therefore they're exempt. And he writes that the Ben Gurion said to him, he had to agree, he said, you're right, I hear, it's a Taka Rambam. And that was the end of the conversation. Even he had to admit that that's mamish what the Rambam is saying here. Business committed to Torah, everything else falls away, and the Rebbeinu Shem will give you special treatment to the point that you're not meshubad like other people are meshubad to do other things. Business doesn't always have the cheshek, it's a struggle. Someone told me there was a Chassid Rebbe who went to visit Rav Eliashiv. Rav Eliashiv, I think, who at the time was over 80, 85, I think. And before he left, he said to Rav Eliashiv, I want to give you a bracha. What can I give you a bracha? Must be a bit younger, his wife was still alive. He was just over 80, I think. And Rav Eliashiv's wife said to the Rebbe, give him a bracha of a Chishka Torah. Now, if he needs a bracha at that age, a Chishka Torah, goodness gracious, what we need. Because Rav Eliashiv was the epitome of Torah. He was the one who learned Torah day and night. He was 99 years old. He had fasted the Holy Yom Kippur with intravenous, give him liquid. And then he sat down to learn, and his grandson offered him a coffee at 3 o'clock in the morning. He said to him, I can't, I'm meaty. He said, no, it's been 6 hours. You've been learning since you had your meal at 8 o'clock. It's 6, 7 hours later. Rav Eliashiv said, what? I don't believe it. It's morning Seder. Quickly closes Gemara and opens his morning Seder Gemara. I have to learn until Shacharis now. Now it's morning Seder. After Motzei Yom Kippur, 99 years old. If he didn't know what Cheshka Torah was, I don't know why he leaves anyone else. Yet he felt he constantly needs a chizuk in Cheshka Torah. Because Torah is one of the three things Chazal tell us. It's Adova Torah Chizuk. Always needs a chizuk. Because the person sometimes weakens and wanes and doesn't realize that it falls away from him. Therefore, he always wanted the extra boost in Cheshka Torah. Every minute of Torah is so choshev. Sometimes the person feels, what's this minute? He sits down to learn. It is always telling me, he says, he doesn't really, comes home and he forgets to learn. So I told him very simple, leave a safe on your table. Always be a safe on your table. So he told me, it's messy, wife won't let. So I actually had this conversation when I first got married. I had all my sperm on the table. My wife told me, it's messy. I said, what do you mean? She said, look, when you finish learning, put it away. I said, do you know when, back then, we had one of these, before we had the portable phones, the wire one, we had scroll. So whenever you finish on a phone call, then pull out the wire, wrap up the phone, and put it on the shelf. You want to make a phone call, take it out and plug it in. Why do you leave the phone out? Well, it doesn't make sense. Why is the phone out? And you know, the oven, put it back in the box. Whenever you need to unpack, Sfarim is not something you put on the shelf. It's something that stays on the table 24-7, because it's something that you're constantly back and forwards. It's not something you put away. Some people have it with different things. I don't know, maybe it's their phone. Things that are always around, they're constantly available. It shouldn't be, you go to the shelf, right? What safer do I pull out now? It should be constantly on your table, and you hop around a minute here, a minute there. There's never a time where a person comes home and says, ooh, I should really take a safer out. And then he says, ooh, suddenly something else catches his attention. It's constantly on the table, because every minute of Torah is so choshev. I remember when my sister, Alo Shalom, was nifta, they sit by Leviah. She lived in Gated in one of these houses. It was like a split house. You got the stairs, you come in, go straight to the upstairs, like one of these flats. So you open the door, you end up straight by the stairs. And my brother-in-law came home one day, and he found her at the bottom of the stairs. She was as white as a ghost. She had the phone in her hand. She said, what's going on? She said, I heard noises upstairs, you know, as all women do. For sure there's a thief in the house. Goodness knows what they're trying to steal there. But there's a thief in the house, and I'm just too scared. So he said, why didn't you phone me? She said, I've got the phone, I was about to phone you, but I realized you're in Koidal. And I realized every minute I said to myself, I'll survive another minute. He's not going to come downstairs and get me yet. One more minute. And this went on, he said, over half an hour, till eventually he came in from Koilal, because every minute of Torah she understood was another chapping mitzvahs. Every minute of Torah, it's time to connect Kulam. Therefore, every minute, a person comes home, open the Mishnayos for a minute. What's a minute? So Dobby recently had spare time every day, a few minutes. He decided he's going to go for the kill. He's going to do something he can never fathom he's going to do, and he's going to learn Mishnayos Mikvos. Very simple, he bought the art scroll, and he sat down every day for a few minutes, and he told me after a few weeks, he managed to master the entire Masechta Mikvos. It took him a few minutes a day, he said, a few minutes of Torah. He could have said to himself, 5 minutes, I can relax. There's lots to read, lots to see, lots to watch. 5 minutes a day is all it took him. He left it on his table. He said, it went on for a few weeks, and a few weeks later, it wasn't even long, it was less than a month, he managed to finish the entire Masechta Mikvos. And Masechta, some people are scared to try. Yeah, he said to himself, I want to give all I've got. I want to push myself to new levels and new heights. 5 minutes a day, he masters the Masechta that some people spend their whole life, and it always remains foreign territory to them. But the person feels, 5 minutes, how much he can gain, how much he can chaperain, despite all the odds. There's a famous picture of a relash of learning at night. When his power, they had the power cut. There's a famous video with a documentary by Rav Eliashiv. When he's got to there, you see what happens. He's learning. Suddenly, there's a storm outside. The power goes. Rav Eliashiv gets up. You hear banging in the kitchen. Comes back a minute later with a pot and a candle. He lights the candle and sticks on top of the pot. And he goes weiter. Nothing can faze him. Nothing can stop him. Because every minute he knew was so precious. It's not something he wants to give up. Not something he wants to sacrifice. Every minute of Torah. Finally, the end of his famous story of Aaron Kotler when he was in hospital, Psef Yomov. And he was very old, very weak, and he could barely talk. And next to him, a few beds along, was the wife of one of the presidents, one of the previous presidents of America. And the president, the old president, came in and was sitting with his wife. And they saw the commotion with Aaron Collar. You know, when a yid's in hospital, doesn't sit there alone. And when I was in hospital in Inverness, Scotland, and I was miles from any yid, and the man of yidden came to visit us, someone said to me, "You know, who are you? You seem so popular." I didn't say anything. All you got to be is a Jew, and for that you get plenty of visitors. And Aaron Collar was the Rosh Hashiva. He had a constant 24-hour day of a flow of people coming in. And the president, the old president, said to the people, Who's this yid? Who's this man? He said, "Aaron Collar, Rosh Hashiva." "Yeshivas? Ah, I've heard of yeshivas. What do you do in yeshivas?" He said, we study Torah, and we become rabbis. And Aaron, who understood English, didn't really speak it. He was very old and very weak. He hadn't really spoken. He said, Nein. Zogim is melein Torah lishma. We don't learn to become rabbis. We don't learn because there's an end. There's something we're going to get to. The means justifies the end. We're not getting anywhere. Torah means Torah lishma. Every minute of Torah is connected to kulam. It doesn't matter if you're Chaim Kanievsky or you're a simple guy who became a guy and yesterday you were a goy. It's the same thing. It's Torah lishma. It's Torah for the sake of Torah. It's Torah because we know it's connected to kulam and it's irrelevant of anything else because every minute is connected to kulam and it's not for any reason not to become rabbis. Name said Raran, Melin Torah lishma.